The Democratic Republic of Congo this month is scheduled to hold its first free elections in nearly half a century. They are the most expensive elections ever held in Africa. International donors are spending more than $400 million on the polls in the hope that a representative government can lead Congo out of years of turmoil. NPR's Jason Bobien reports from the eastern part of the country in the city of Bukavu.
In 2004, renegade Congolese soldiers overran this port city on the shores of Lake Kivu. In the process, they killed more than 100 people, raped scores of women, and pillaged Bukavu's shops. 38-year-old Felician Sabante had his house looted three times on the first night of the invasion. They came in a group, Sabante says, firing bullets everywhere. The soldiers smashed the windows and broke down the door. Sabante says he's eager to vote on July 30th because he believes an elected government will be able to control the military and bring security to the Congo. The election, he says, will bring a government that is capable and responsible. This is something Congo has lacked for decades. The vast country gained independence from a brutal Belgian regime in 1960. 5 years later, Joseph Mobutu seized power in a coup. During his 32-year reign, he renamed himself Mobutu Sese Seko, dubbed the country Zaire, and drove one of the richest nations in Africa into the ground. After Mobutu was overthrown in 1997, the country descended into a civil war that drew in the armies of Angola, Namibia, Zimbabwe, Rwanda, and Uganda. That civil war officially ended in 2002, but sporadic fighting continues here in the east. Father Justin Sekatera Kulumushi, the chancellor of the Catholic Diocese of Bukavu, says the Congo has been devastated by decades of corrupt rule and war.
Le premier besoin, c'est la paix.
The greatest need here, he says, is peace. To try to deliver that, the United Nations has deployed 17,000 troops, its largest peacekeeping mission in the world, to the Congo. Blue-helmeted soldiers from Uruguay, Pakistan, and South Africa rattle along Bukavu's deeply rutted streets in white UN jeeps with machine guns mounted on their roofs. In the Civil War during the 1990s, the soldiers from neighboring countries took over Congolese mines and shipped the proceeds back home. Father Justin says the destruction of his country has been fueled by outsiders and their desire for his country's mineral wealth. For me, this is an imported war, Father Justin says, fabricated in a laboratory in the West. And he says it's a war over diamonds and gold. The collateral damage in this conflict has been huge. Some 4 million people have died, mainly as a result of disease and starvation after being driven from their homes. There's been almost no investment in roads, sanitation, schools, or other public infrastructure since the 1950s. Congo is the size of Western Europe, but it only has 300 miles of paved roads. Factories have collapsed in on themselves. Most of the country lacks electricity. Bukavu has two hydro dams, but the power comes on only sporadically, if at all. There's great enthusiasm, maybe even overinflated expectations about the upcoming election. At this rally, hundreds of women marched through Bukavu to support the current president, Joseph Kabila. The 34-year-old Kabila came to power in 2001 after his father, rebel leader Laurent Kabila, was assassinated. 33 candidates are running for president. Almost 10,000 people are vying for 500 seats in the National Assembly. The logistical challenges of conducting an election in such a large country with terrible infrastructure are huge. The UN peacekeeping mission, known by its French acronym MONUC, is distributing the literally tons of polling materials throughout the country. Alpha So, the head of MONUC in Bukavu, says the UN has assembled a fleet of more than 80 aircraft and hundreds of trucks to support the election.
So for the moment, for us, the priority one is election, priority two is election, and priority three is election again.
In addition to ferrying ballot boxes, MONUC is also attempting to keep the peace. Officially, the UN troops are here to assist the newly reconstituted Congolese army. But many observers say the Congolese military can't yet control the numerous militias, local defense forces, and foreign fighters who roam the east of the country. Again, Alpha So with MONUC.
It will take some time, but it is coming progressively, this army is being operational. Definitely, they need equipment, they need means, they need to be fairly paid, you know.
Under Mobutu, when the government couldn't come up with the money to pay its troops, Congolese soldiers were told to live off the land. Even in the newly integrated army, soldiers only make about $15 a month, and their pay is often late. Congolese troops with battered AK-47s slung across their shoulders still demand money, food, and even sex from the local population. This military culture in what remains the largely lawless country continues to be a problem. Mick Mutiki is with a civil society group in Bukavu that's deploying poll monitors for the upcoming balloting. Mutiki calls this election the last hope for the Congo. Since the assassination of Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba in 1961, he says there's never been a legitimate government in Kinshasa, and this has spawned successive armed conflicts in the country.
It's the population who were killed in those wars. It was population who was suffering, who was raped, who was killed. But now we want election to ensure a peace. We want election as guarantee of peace for us, for our children, and for our children's children.
If none of the 33 presidential candidates gets 50% of the vote on July 30th, there'll be a runoff at, as of yet, an undetermined date. Jason Beaubien, NPR News, Bukavu.